As I said before, if we walked into a building and if you came home and in your lounge room was a hangman's noose, you would be really shook. But you might have a cross on the wall. The cross is such a big idea. It encompasses so much. It's kind of God's whole plan of salvation boiled down into one image. And so Paul said in our reading, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are heading for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. How can we understand the mind of God? How can we understand God's love? It's big. So I want to think of the cross is like a diamond ring. That the thing that makes a diamond ring beautiful is it has facets, little flat bits. Each one of those little flat bits is called a facet. So I want to look at five facets, five different ways of looking at the cross. So the first one is Christ the victor, Christ the conqueror, Christ my hero. And so way back at creation, God promised Eve once they fell into sin and could no longer be without sin. You know, we don't seem to have so much choice of being without sin, do we? I find that even when I'm doing good things, like I can go to a church service, being a pastor, one of my temptations is picking someone else's sermon apart, right? So I go to church and then I go like, you're at church and instead you're sinning? Okay, so we are capable of turning anything into what it shouldn't be. So God promised Eve that one day one of her descendants would be the Satan crusher, the one who conquers the devil. And we see that when Jesus went into the wilderness and Satan tempts him. And the Bible tells us that he had every temptation that any human being has ever had. So you can never go to Jesus, oh, this happened. He goes, ooh, I never heard of that before. He goes, oh, yeah, that was a horrible one. He knows all of them. And so Satan dumped the whole lot. We only have a few temptations, each of us. But he dumped the whole lot on Jesus and was not able to conquer him, was not able to draw him into sin. So Jesus won. And when he met people who were demonized, Jesus could cast the demons out because he is stronger. He is the strong man. And at Easter, the devil thought he had a trap. He has my mouse trap, right? Jesus is the bait. So the devil believed that if he could kill Jesus, he would be the winner. The Messiah would be gone. The Savior would be gone. And so he set his trap, and he caught Jesus. But, you know, if you were playing with your children or grandchildren, and we'll just imagine they had this great big box, and they want to trap you in the big box, and you go, oh, yeah, I'm so trapped. I can't get out, you know. And then they get bored and leave you. And then you go, poof, you're stronger than the box. You can break it. So when Jesus died on the cross, Satan was sure he had won. And for 3 days, they're celebrating. The Savior is gone. We have gotten rid of the Messiah. And then, of course, Jesus does what I just said. Death isn't strong enough to hold him. He breaks loose. So Jesus is our hero. In year 8, I'm not tall now, but I was really short in year 8. And so when the bell would ring and we would leave our classrooms and go out to the, we had lockers in the passage, and I would get pushed around because, you know, little twerpy kid. And in my year 8 class, we had one guy who had flunked 3 times. So we were all 13 and he was 16. He drove his car to year 8. He was taking shop. He was learning how to repair cars, so he didn't want to leave yet. But I'm out. The bell rang. I'm out and getting pushed around. And Ralph, that was his name, Ralph comes up and grabs one of the guys and shoves him up against the locker and says, leave Brian alone. They never touched me anymore. He was my hero, my savior. And that's Jesus. He's the hero. He's our savior from Satan. And each one of these facets, I want to sing a hymn verse with each one that fits. And so for Martin Luther, this is one of his favorite views of the cross, one of his favorite facets. And "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" is one of those songs. But we'll sing instead, "Yours Is the Glory." Yours is the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory, over death you won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave closed where your body lay. Yours is the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory, over death you won. So our first facet is Jesus the conqueror, my hero. Our second one is Jesus the one who pays the ransom, my redeemer. These days there are online romance scams that are particularly targeted to people who are lonely. And, you know, some nice man or woman is writing to them who understands their life so well and, you know, whatever their interest in. Oh, yeah, I'm into plants, too. And, yes, I love my caboodle dog. You know, whatever they're interested in, they say. One of the people I know fell in love with a person online who lived in Russia. And he flew to Moscow to meet her. And, of course, when he landed, there was no woman there. There were just thugs who grabbed him. And then he rang his relatives back in Australia and South Australia and said, "They want $30,000 to let me go." And his family had to raise the money to set him free. That's a ransom. Or, of course, happens also in the Red Sea. These days, pirates come onto big ships, and then the crew are held for ransom, and people have to pay. Be cash converters. You're short of money. And you take something to cash converters to get money. And then if you can pay the money back, you can get the thing that you, your bicycle. You know, you take your really fancy bicycle that you use for sprocket rockets. And you know, it's worth a lot of money. So you give it to them and they give you the money. But whenever I go there, there are lots of bicycles you can buy at sprocket cash converters. So if you come back with the money, you can get your bicycle back. That's a ransom, or that's redeeming. Redeem means to buy a second time. And so the Bible says, Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many, as a ransom for you. Or again, Paul tells us that you were bought with a price. The price was Jesus, his blood. So Christ ransoms us. He frees us from the slavery to sin and death. And in this, Luther's explanation of the third article, it says, Christ has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. And so we'll sing "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," which is again that redeeming song. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. You notice how our song, our Christian songs, both traditional and contemporary, are just rich with illustrations of what salvation means, or pictures of the salvation. So we've seen Christ the victor, the conqueror, my hero. We've seen Christ the one who paid my ransom, who's your redeemer. The next one I'm going to look at, next facet, is that he's the sacrifice. When you have a child, you don't realize how many sacrifices you are going to make. You know, you go to someone else's house and they say, "Don't worry, there's nothing that the kids can hurt." And you're looking at all the all the crockery and the crystal that's down on the bottom shelf and moving stuff up. In your house, nothing's on the ground. Everything's up high or locked, right? That's gone. Those days are gone. And no plants in the house that might be poisonous, they're gone. And sleep, well, kiss that goodbye. and money, like, do you need shoes again? A school camp. So it goes, right? We make sacrifices. We do that because we love them. That's why we give, why we make sacrifices for our children, because we love them. So in the Old Testament, people were commanded to make sacrifices. When you went to the temple, you took a sheep with you or a goat, you put your hand on it, you confessed your sins, and the priest slit its throat. And on the Day of Atonement, they took the blood from one of those and sprinkled it on the on the altar, not the altar, the... Thank you. Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, okay. At Passover, they painted the door frames to protect the people and the comfort, something of the covenant. I've lost the word. Thank you. Ark of the Covenant would put the blood on that. And so that was how people received forgiveness. And Christ is the real sacrifice. We don't sacrifice any sheep, goats anymore, because Jesus was the real deal. All those were only a prophecy, a prediction, a picture of who, what the Savior would do. And so in the book of Hebrews it says, with Christ's own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the holy place once and for all and secured our redemption forever. Or again, Hebrews says, Christ's sacrifice was once and for all. Or in the book of Revelation, which is mostly a celebration of Christ the hero, but also when John sees the people in heaven, he sees them all in glistening white robes, and he says, who are these? And the angel says, they're the ones who washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. That sacrifice that made them holy. That's us. That sacrifice that makes us holy. It's not natural to us. Or again, in Isaiah 53, it says that Jesus was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. By his wounds, we are healed. And so we sing, what can wash away my sin? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So looking at our diamond, we've looked at the facet, Jesus the conqueror, my hero. We've looked at the facet, Jesus the redeemer who ransomed me. We've looked at the facet of Jesus, the sacrifice. Now we'll look at the facet, he's the substitute. In Auschwitz, one of the concentration camps in World War II, some prisoners escaped. And the commandant, in order to punish people and make sure no one else would try and escape, decided that 10 prisoners would be locked in a bunker, given no water and no food until they were dead. And so by lot, not because they were guilty, just by lot, 10 people were chosen. And one of them was Rencicek, and I can't even put it, the surname is worse, so we'll just say his Rencicek. He goes, oh no, my poor wife and children, I won't be able to look after them. One of the people in the, there were many Lutheran pastors and Catholic priests who were also in concentration camps, and Father Max Colby said, well, I have no children. I'll take your place. And he was put in the bunker and eventually did die in Rencik's place. And Rencik spent the rest of his life when he was freed from concentration camp dedicating, telling this story of the salvation that came to him through the Catholic priest and through Jesus. And all his children and grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren. And the same thing happens with Abraham when he was, last week we talked about Abraham being commanded to sacrifice his son Isaac. And at the last moment the angel said, stop. And there was the ram, the sheep, that was sacrificed in his place, the substitute, so that Isaac wouldn't be sacrificed. And Abraham didn't have to be the father who sacrificed his son. But then the Heavenly Father sacrificed his son for you. Christ took our place. He took my place, your place. He's our substitute. And God has to be fair. You know how on the news people are upset if people who have committed a crime are going to get out of prison in 3 or 4 years? Like, that's not fair. Well, we also are the guilty ones, and other people have been hurt by us, and they think, that's not fair. Someone must pay, and Jesus is the one who wants to pay for you. And that's why in Isaiah it says, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, and his death for our trespasses. And so we just need an introduction to this song. I think it does go. Yeah, it is. Okay, never mind. Well, yeah, we'll do it together. Yeah, just, okay. There was no other good enough to price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. I don't know. Somehow we lost that one a bit. Okay. Oh, Sacred Head Now Wounded is that song where the writer is imagining that he's Mary and looking at her dead son and seeing how he was brutalized for us. Yes, that's our Sacred Head Now Wounded. So we've looked at Christ the Victor, my hero, Christ the Ransom, Christ the Redeemer, Christ the Sacrifice, Christ the Substitute, and the last one, and one of my favorites, is Christ the Magnet. The cross draws us to God. It's where we see the pain that he is willing to go through in order to save you, how much he cares for you. And so the Gospel of John says, we love because he first loved us. We didn't sort of find him and choose to love him. He loved us first. And Jesus says, when I am lifted up on the cross, I will draw all people to myself. You know, in primary school, did you ever have the piece of paper with the iron filings on top and the magnet underneath, and you can move the magnet around and the iron filings dance and follow around? So, Jesus on the cross is like the magnet that draws us to him. The mystery of God's great love for us. Jesus is willing to go through so much for you. So God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we'll sing songs like What Wondrous Love Is This, but we'll sing even the classic, Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. We can't really expect to comprehend God's mind. If God can't think bigger thoughts than we can, there's no point in worshiping him. So we can't imagine that we could understand the full deal, but we can get glimpses of God's whole thought in this plan of salvation that he had for us. It's like eating food. You don't have to understand the chemistry. You don't have to understand how calories are burned and all that sort of stuff. You just have to eat the food. We don't have to fully understand God's plan of salvation. We just need to trust that Jesus is our Savior. And this is the plan that works for us. And it gives us life forever and a place in heaven with God. So this is God's plan of salvation. We've looked at 5 facets, 5 views. Christ the Victor, my hero. Christ the Redeemer. Christ the Sacrifice. Christ the Substitute. Christ the Magnet. All we need to know is God's besotted with you. He wants you in heaven with him. He loves you. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus.